We have all manner of jobs slash professions represented here, just in this crowd. We have nurses and other medical professionals. We have salespeople. We have first responders of different types. Now we have former military. I don't know if we have any current military out here right now. We have people in the aviation industry. We have a pilot, at least one out there. But I've got a list here of what I would refer to as unusual or rare jobs and professions. Most of these you may have heard of, I don't know. A couple of them I'd heard of. Some of them are just, honestly, just flat out strange. But it's one of those things that when I tell you what it is and I describe it briefly, I think like me, you'll think, well, I guess somebody has to do that, right? But I didn't realize it was a job. So some of my favorites. Face feeler. That's a job, by the way. That's somebody who evaluates the effects of fabrics and or cosmetics by touching people, either touching the fabric, or in the case of cosmetics, they will touch the people's faces before and after application. Odor judge. Whoever raised boys, you probably qualify. But it's someone who, in the cosmetic world, assesses them by aroma, by smell. Pet food taster. These are human jobs, by the way. So pet food taster checks the palatability and quality of pet food. So if you've ever wanted to get paid to eat dog food, for instance, there's an opportunity out there for you. Water slide tester. I would have loved to do this when I was like 9. But water slide tester is exactly what it sounds like. It's someone who ensures not just safety, but also fun on water slides. And I guess if it's not safe, you just work that one day, right? Hurricane hunter. I know our aviation people, and surely our military people or military adjacent people know what this is, but a hurricane hunter is someone, and it's really a crew, that flies aircraft into a hurricane in order to record data. I knew a guy, in fact, years ago, I hadn't seen him in forever, who was a pilot for a hurricane hunter. I think a WC-130 is what it was. And I was thinking about him just about a month and a half ago when Stacy and I went out west to see Cole, our oldest, because our flight out west, it felt like we had been involuntarily volunteered to be on a hurricane hunter. It was one of those days. There are bed testers who review mattresses and bedding. Snake milker. Who wants to volunteer for that one? Yeah, a snake milker is someone who milks the venom from snakes for the purposes of medical research. Most of us have probably heard of underwater welders. That's not necessarily an unknown career, but it is a rare one because it's a combination of two very specific skills, advanced welding skills, also diving skills. Speaking of diving, there is a profession referred to as golf ball diver. So guys like me who hit a lot of balls into the water, there's somebody who gets paid to go dive and retrieve those balls. Folks who raise animals will enjoy this one. There's a profession called chick sexer, someone who determines if that chick is a male or a female. Professional cuddler, offers platonic touch therapy for loneliness. Laughter therapist, uses laughter for health benefits. A lamplighter, that one goes way back, but they're still around. It's someone who lights and extinguishes gas lamps. An ASMR content producer, and if they didn't tell me what that stood for, I would have had to look it up. someone who creates audiovisual content designed to trigger autonomous sensory meridian response. And someone will have to explain to me later what in the world that actually means. Nail polish namer. Ladies, when you get your favorite color of nail polish and it's got some cute, clever name, there are people out there who get paid to come up with names for those. I think this one's actually, just a few more, but I think this next one's my favorite. Line stander. Yep. It's descriptive. The people who pay other people to stand in line on their behalf. Concert tickets, whatever else it may be. So there's a job for you if you don't mind standing around for hours and hours. Pin setter, this one goes way back as well, but there are still places that hire pin setters to manually reset bowling pins. And then finally, seasonally, there is a job for anybody who wants to be a reindeer walker. It's people who walk reindeer for Christmas events. And so I'm reading through those. There are a lot more. That's just the most fun ones, in my opinion. And I got to thinking, you know, it takes all kinds, doesn't it? It takes all kinds of gifts. It takes all kinds of abilities. It takes all kinds of different passion, or at least directions for our passion to make this world go round the way it does. Some of you maybe read the article on the back of the bulletin sheet this morning, but for those who didn't, I'll briefly tell the story and really kind of the genesis for this entire sermon. I'd popped my head in to say hello to a friend recently, and that friend in the right hand was holding a jar of peanut butter. And with the left was cleaning the outside of the peanut butter jar. And of course, standing up here, some of my thoughts go to Matthew 23, right? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, who clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of all of that nasty stuff. But that's not what this is about. So this friend and I, we shared a strange sense of humor. And so I gave a look like, what in the world are you doing? And we laughed together, and I think I said, hey, you do you. And I walked away laughing, but as I walked away, it hit me. I've never in my life that I can remember cleaned the outside of a peanut butter jar. But I got to thinking again, it takes all kinds. Because there are some people who they'll clean the outside of the jar. There are some people like me who really don't care. There are some people even, and this is hard to believe, Dad, I think there are people in the world who don't even eat peanut butter. I know. Did you see Bo's reaction? He could not believe it. 1 Corinthians 12, we'll start where Tim started a minute ago. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, and that word activities, I think a better way for us to understand it, it's talking about capabilities. So there's a variety of gifts, same Spirit, varieties of service, same Lord, and varieties of capabilities. But it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why does Paul say that's the case? It's for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Are we starting to get Paul's point here? Where all of this comes from? It all comes from one God. It all comes through one Lord. It all comes through one Spirit. And that Spirit apportions to each one individually as He wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. And here it is. You knew Paul was getting back to this pretty quickly. So it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Paul is saying it takes all kinds. And God is the one who designed it that way. You have the gifts and abilities, the capabilities that you have, and me too, because God designed it that way. This was God in His infinite wisdom working through the grace that we receive through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in order that you and I might be equipped in particular ways as He formed us in our faith in Jesus Christ into that body of Christ. I've been making reference for a while to an Isaiah passage. I read it Wednesday night, and if you're here, do you remember what I said? You're probably going to hear this again Sunday, so here it is. Isaiah, what is this, 2,800 years, 2,700 years ago or so, wrote, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. The bruised reed he will not break." That's quoted later in our New Testament, by the way. "And a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it." And here's what he says. "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth." Now, I've talked about this text many times in the last several months, at least in passing, because indirectly it is talking about how God is creating a community, Israel. And that community, Israel, an imitation of him, is going to be a gift to the nations around them. You know, last week, it was a brief grammar lesson. You remember that? In Ephesians 2, we talked about the pronouns that were used, except for the ones that were making reference to Jesus, and except for the very last one about boasting, they were all plural. It was all y'all and we and us. Well, in this text, it's very important to notice something grammatically, and I'm going to tell you, I know you're shocked. But you notice those four uses late in the reading. "I'm the Lord," when God starts speaking, "I've called you, I will take you, I will keep you, I will give you." Those are all singular, which helps us understand directly who it is that he's talking about. Which is a prophecy about whom? It's about Jesus. But the idea is this one that he will later, 11 chapters later in fact, describe as the suffering servant, this same you, singular. That suffering servant will come as we celebrated and remember just a few moments ago with Brad leading us, he did come and he did die. He did offer himself. He did in his life, he did express the goodness and the kindness and the perfection and the glory of the one true God. And the idea is that this Isaiah prophet is prophesying about this one who will come, and that's the one that we'll read again in a moment, whose body we are. And in imitation of that one who was called to righteousness, that one who was called to be a gift to the nations, in our imitation of him, in our faith placed in him, in our following of him, in our discipleship of Jesus, God intends that as the body of Christ was offered as a gift, that the body of Christ will be offered as a gift. You follow me? Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read this entire blessing, but just wait for it. It's coming. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. As Brad read earlier, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Same thought here. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, that's plural by the way, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit as the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. We're getting there. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, plural still, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is his immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Do you need to take a breath too for just a second? That's a lot. But listen to where he's going with this. Just two more verses. And he put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus Christ, as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Man, that's heavy, isn't it? Yeah. That's heavy. All this beautiful blessing and praise about what God did through Jesus Christ and what Paul brings it to this church in Ephesus and this church in Hiram, Georgia today on January 18, 2026 is to remind us that he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. Or as Paul says so simply later in 1 Corinthians 12, now you are the body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. One more reading. Peter weighs in on this, by the way. The end of all things is at hand. This is late in 1 Peter, by the way. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. That's a sermon for another time, by the way. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. This is what we call body talk, right? Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's, and here's that word, of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Isaiah is preparing us for what was to come in Jesus Christ and for what was to be our responsibility as the body of Christ. And Paul, and we could spend all morning reading what Paul has to say about this. We won't. But Paul weighs in on this. Peter leans into it. All those who knew Jesus, all those inspired writers, they understood what it meant to be the body and what it is that God had created. And they also understood that it takes all kinds, which is another way of saying it takes each and every one of us. And so, to recap, God places us where he wants us to be. God enables us to be what we are in Christ. God equips us with gifts that are diverse and useful in his kingdom. God intends us to use our gifts as an expression of gratitude to him. God demands also that we use our gifts to bring grace to our neighbor. And God expects us to use our gifts to help the body to grow, to develop, and to thrive. But lest we forget, the greatest gift, the greatest body that was given to the world was Jesus Christ. And as brothers and sisters, as followers of Christ, as immersed believers, I think it's clear, we are his body. And God intends us to be his gift to one another and to the world around us.